This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Well, here we are again. Good morning, everybody. You can turn those headphones down. There's a button right down there by your hand. Yeah. Hi, Robin.
Good morning.
Welcome to the radio.
I'm awake now.
Hey, Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. Yes, indeed, we do. And our producer, Mr. Klaproth, is here this morning. Good morning. How you doing? Doing good. Looking good. It looks like you stood a little too far from the razor this morning, but yeah, I know. Yeah, he's attempting to grow something there. Actually, you do have a very nice beard. I envy men that have heavy, thick beards like that. I don't. Yeah. Are you going to go, you know, Duck Commander on us? You going to go Phil Robertson on us? A little too much? I got you.
Looks good.
It does. It does look good. So anyway, hey, here we are. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. Miss Robin's with me this morning. I don't envy her for having to get up as early as we get up to get up here from Easton. You're a trooper, girl.
I try.
I know.
Especially after last night not getting bed till like 11.
Well, last night was a little different. We're pushing the limits here on getting the Maryland Hunting Quarterly out. This coming week, getting to the printers on what day is today? Is it Saturday?
It
must
Saturday.
Be Saturday. I'm on the radio. Yeah, getting to the printers later today or tomorrow, likely tomorrow, and pushing it hard on getting the layout done so our designer can do what she does. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a late night last night on that, and I did fall asleep pretty quickly, though.
Yep.
I did. So, anyway.
Before I did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we're here. We're here and ready to rock and roll, take any calls that you want to make. The very same spot we saw the two foxes run across the road at the very same time last Saturday when we were on our way up here, getting off of, Route 50 onto Ritchie Highway North on the ramp. Two foxes last Saturday ran across in front of us in the rain. This Saturday, same spot, one fox. So we don't know if his litter mate was, we just don't know.
Well, if his litter mate was running across in front of us like that one was running across in front of us,
chances are. Yeah, if that's a regular practice of those foxes, I'm not going to speculate. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We invite you to call. We welcome Chesapeake Outdoors back today as a sponsor. I want you to mark the date for August 26th. Is that the date I'm looking for? I believe it is, several weeks from today. That will be a big sale right before the archery season. The Hoyt bows are on sale right now. On clearance, actually, and we'll tell you more about that later on. Did an article on Clyde's Sports Shop's 60th anniversary. Interviewed Bill and Clyde over the last few weeks, and Robin was my proofreader on that. She caught one little boo-boo, where I left out a word. But other than that...
Put in the wrong word.
No, I said... It was near where, and I put near and forgot the where.
Okay.
So, anyway, how was the article?
The article was great. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting guys.
They are. Very interesting history, no question about it. So, and we'll talk about that. And, of course, you know, all the other folks. I got to see Jack over there at Catonsville Linex the other day. Bobby at Bay Linex and Glen Burnie was out. Visited with the folks at Battery Warehouse, WW Tire and Auto, Clyde's. Went to see Bud down at Fishbones. So... you know, all the sponsors are doing well, but we welcome more, of course, as we go into this late summer, fall, and I'm sure we'll pick up a few more sponsors for the radio show as we go forward. So, Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com if anybody has any recommendations on that one. So there we go. Crab Magazine is being redistributed. We're getting calls to refill some of the folks that we stocked up when the magazine came out in June, and that's good. That means they're out of magazines, and you all are picking them up wherever you go. And great stuff coming up in the next Hunting Quarterly.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We got a couple. You know, we talk a little bit about the bear lottery, but Dave Seacott gets the hunters ready for bear season. If you get picked in the lottery, you know, 750 tags will be awarded, and three people per each tag, you know, two sub-permittees. So that's good. That lottery is in full swing. It ends August 31st, and then they'll announce the people who have got a tag on September 6th. So, we got the bear back.
Yes, we did.
We got the Maryland bear back last week. What day was that? Saturday. We went out to see Jason.
Yep, that rain.
Yeah, and Jason wasn't there. Jason Carter, our taxidermist, but Jennifer was. We got the bear loaded in the truck and on the road, and now
it's just too bad it was raining. I wanted to stick the bear's head out the window and go down the highway.
Yes, she did. Better yet, have it ride down the highway in the bed.
Or I could have gotten in the back seat. We could have put it in the passenger seat next to you with the head sticking out.
Could have done that. Unfortunately, it was raining.
Fortunately for you, it was raining.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we got plenty of other heads we can do that with.
But there's going to be a lot moving towards the Eastern Shore.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. So, met with a realtor the other day. So that's good. Things are moving there on the house, and we talked about what needs to get done. So it's all good. I mean, it's, you know, staying busy. Got a new affiliation with the folks at the Waterfowl Festival. Who else did we talk to this week? Who didn't we talk to this week?
Yeah, it's more like asking.
Yeah, who didn't we talk to? Yeah.
My brain's fried. I can't even think.
Well, it's all that Facebook stuff
now,
you're doing.
I'm looking for the date of that sale that you were looking for.
It's the last Saturday in August.
Okay.
Whatever that is. I think it's 26th. Here, let me show you how to work this phone. You open it up. You go to the calendar.
Go away. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Click on the current month, and then all you got to do is look at the last Saturday of the month. I think it's the 26th. So did y'all hear about the shark in the Potomac? Northern Virginia? You didn't hear about that? Oh, man. The buzz in the Northern Virginia fishing community, this is from WUSA Channel 9, was that a shark was spotted in Belmont Bay. The photo appearing to show a fin sparked a lot of buzz around the fishing community. The word was it was a shark in Belmont Bay just off the Potomac River near Woodbridge. Yeah. It was a log. That's the story. Woohoo! Big news. There's a log in the Potomac. Oh, they've seen sharks. We heard one was spotted. Where did we hear one spotted off in Chesapeake Bay not that long ago? Where was it? I mean, it's a weird year.
I know. I can't think.
I don't know either. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. You got to find some wildlife-related stories for
me. I sent you some this week.
Yeah, I know you sent me some this week. You sent me something about the delisting of grizzly bears and... what else?
I sent you the one about the people that saved that biker from the grizzly bear. They pulled their car in front of the grizzly bear chasing the biker.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah, there was a grizzly bear chasing a cyclist. A cyclist, not a biker.
One that was self-propelled.
No motor on it.
Self-propelled.
Yeah, no motor. It was a bicycle cycle.
Anyway, a grizzly bear was chasing his
bike. Yeah, chasing him down the mountain.
somebody drove in between the grizzly bear and the biker and saved him.
That would have been. I would have done that.
I sent you a couple of them.
I know. Well, here's for those of you who want to know who own a Ruger, and I own several. Man, I'll tell you what. I think back when I was 28 years old, I bought a Ruger rifle, deer rifle, and I took a deer with it just about every year since I've had it, including last year when I took that sick of deer. Killed both my rack sick of deer stags with that 270. It still shoots like a dream. The second quarter earnings call the other day, that would have been, what day was this? Thursday. There was a significant drop in second quarter sales and a year-to-date earnings compared to last year. There was nothing spoken by the company or the stock analyst that indicates any gloom and doom outlook regarding the overall health of the firearms industry. Okay, it sounded like everyone realized that the sine curve that has typically described how the gun business historically works is back in play. In other words, almost back to normal. Now, if anybody's interested in what Ruger, I got to scroll back up here. This is from the Outdoor Wire yesterday. I guess that was Thursday they announced second quarter. I'll have to go back and look. They were dropped a little bit. Sales were down a little. But here's what the Outdoor Wire says. This is the editor, Jim Shepherd. Of the Outdoor Wire. What I've discounted as political purchasing out of the way, consumers are doing what they've historically done, sit on the sidelines comparatively during the summer while they redirect their money towards activities other than shooting, like their, you know, vacations. That being aside, this is Mr. Killoy. I guess a representative from Ruger. Why can't I see his name in here? Must have pulled his name out of there. The second quarter was challenging, but not simply because there were slowdowns in sales. Ruger allocated $2.5 million in that quarter to address the recall of their newly introduced Mark IV pistols. Did you know anything about that? Well, I can give you the website if you're interested, if you bought a Mark IV. There was a recall for all Mark IVs manufactured prior to June 1st, 2017, despite the fact that only a tiny percentage appeared to be potential problems. And if you have a Ruger Mark IV, I can give you the website if you need it and see if your gun's covered. Mr. Killoy also revised a fact associated with seasonality in the gun business. Unlike other companies, Ruger doesn't offer long financing options on their products or engage in what is called aggressive discounting. He cited three reasons Ruger's selling slowed. One, a decrease off 2016's near record demand due to the elections. Number two, retailers lowering their inventories to free cash through the slower summer months three times real fast. And number three, retailers and consumers were focusing on selling and buying, respectively, on rebates and promotions offered from other manufacturers. So, you know, if you're Ruger and you don't discount and you don't give long-term financing, and other manufacturers do, people take a look at their money and they do what they do. They look for the best price and the biggest discount. Makes sense, right? Right, Chris? Yep. So, did you write that? The question, is Governor Hogan going to try to lure Beretta back into the state? No. They just built a multi-million dollar plant down in Tennessee. And talked to one of their head guys not long ago. And they're very happy with their move outside of the free state. Yeah, Beretta moved out, threatened to move out. Take 200 jobs with him if O'Malley passed his gun ban. O'Malley didn't relent, nor did the General Assembly relent. And adios, Beretta, and others. There's still a couple gun manufacturers here, but Beretta was the most notable one. So. So he said you're cautioned everyone not to look for $150 rebates or 90-day payment terms from Ruger. There would be more exciting new products coming from Ruger before the end of the year. Hey, honey, I didn't buy a gun since last year.
I know. You've just been investing in much more important things.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. I think I'll entice a caller or two. The only reward will be the admiration of the rest of our listening audience if you answer this question correctly. All right. Are you ready for the question, listeners? Let me give our phone number first, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. And here is the question. How many guns does a man need? How many guns does a man need? Call us at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922. You're a woman. You can't answer this question.
Yes, I can. It's really easy. One less than the amount of diamonds he gives the woman that he's living with.
Sorry, that was the wrong answer. Anyway.
I tried.
We'll talk about National Shooting Sports Month here in a bit. Let's see. Looks like we've got some texts here. There's one from Russ. We got it, Russ. Hang in there, buddy. Let's see. There's our buddy John B. on the email saying, hey, we did have a wonderful week. Daughter and grandson, blast playing with him. Got the kiddie pool set up with sprinkler. That's good. Very nice, John B. Glad to hear it. There we did solicit some calls. Elicit. What's the word? Both. Of course, we'll take a couple and then we'll do a break, right? Mark in Towson, good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear both of you this morning.
Indeed.
Morning, Mark.
Well, I've got the answer.
What's the answer?
How
many guns does a man need?
Yeah, one more than he's got.
You are the first correct caller. Let's see what Stan in Baltimore has to say. Let's put Stan on there. Stan, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
I
was going to say three, but I believe that was the answer. You need primary, a secondary backup, and a sidearm for close quarters.
I like that. Primary, backup, and then a sidearm. Okay.
I'm driving right now. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Okay, I heard something on the news. I've been trying to remember for a week now, so I didn't know whether you heard it or not.
Let me see if my research assistant here has heard about it.
If it was either state or fed officers of, I don't know whether it was forestry or wildlife in the state of Maryland that got nailed. I can't remember whether they were illegally fishing or illegally duck hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the life of me, it's been like a week.
In Maryland? This happened in Maryland?
Oh, yeah. And they were Maryland employees.
Really?
Yeah, and I heard it, and I'm on this station. And Mr. Allen's got to know about that.
I wish I did. Well, I haven't been paying attention much.
Well, I can't reach down and write everything and...
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do.
These beautiful, bumpy streets we have.
Really? Downtown? I can't imagine.
Want to take a ride? I wish I knew you were coming through or what time you were coming through. I could have run your front door. You would have gotten back to Baltimore a little bit faster.
Uh-huh. I got it. All right. Robin, you want to see if you
can
find that?
I'm doing as fast as I can.
Oh, she's already on it there, Stan.
Okay, I'm about ready to hit the interstate, so I got to put this thing down and concentrate on merging. Right,
I think that's a wonderful idea. Drive safe.
Drive safe.
Always trying to keep everybody safe.
Yep, I know it. Keep the shiny side up there, Stan.
We'll be listening, Mr. Allen.
All right, bud. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye bye. There he goes. Oh, look, Miss Fran in Baltimore. How are you, girl?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Yep. What's up?
I don't know. Was that the one where the guys were caught duck shooting in the water from the boat?
I don't know. I didn't hear about it.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to Google that or do something to find that, aren't we?
Yep, I think so.
I'm trying.
Oh, wait. Drunk off Russ Tenhoff. Camo preacher. Let's see. Drunk officer shooting a shotgun near the Key Bridge killed some endangered birds. Drunk officers. Ooh, I'd like to get the link to that, camo preacher. I'd appreciate that. That sounds like something going on there, Fran. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. Outdoors. Everything comes outside.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't imagine what endangered birds might be hanging around the Key Bridge. But
oh, I thought I had heard about one where these guys were caught duck shooting from the boat in the water.
I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, you're allowed to do that if the boat isn't under power.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to anchor your boat near blind or offshore or whatever, you know, and as long as the motor's off, you're allowed to take the shot.
Well, they were doing something wrong.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll get the answer by the end of the day, and then we'll have to comment on it.
Oh, so. I knew the answer to that question you asked, but I couldn't get to the phone fast enough.
Oh, yeah, I know.
One more than you say that every year.
One more than he has. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do during the summer is ask a series of questions about trick questions about all right, anyway.
Yeah.
Trick questions about the outdoors. So,
you know what I was thinking this week?
What's that?
And maybe I'm slow catching on to this, but I was thinking to myself about, you know, nature, animals, fish, you know, insects and all that. And I was thinking about the behavior of different species.
Right.
And do you know, I thought to myself, mankind has the same behavior as the species that we notice. Whatever they do in their character, there's some person
MTA,
you know,
officer,
that does the same thing.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, you're absolutely right.
I never really thought about that before.
Well, now you have. So, all right, dear.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Have a great time, and we'll be in touch soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
There she goes. Here it is, July 31st. A cormorant, like the one pictured here, was among five birds shot in the Patapsco River. Maryland Transport. Thank you, Camo Preacher. Maryland Transportation Officer and his two companions are being investigated after police said shots fired from a boat. That's the one, Fran. Near the Key Bridge in Baltimore left several birds dead. Yeah. Do you want to read what the Washington Post headline says? This is the Washington Post now. Maryland transportation officer investigated in fatal shooting of birds in Baltimore.
Sorry.
Fatal shooting of birds in Baltimore. Authorities said five birds, including a federally protected gull and a double-crested cormorant, were killed in the July 21st incident. More than 300 rounds of ammunition for several weapons were found in the boat. Baltimore police spokeswoman identified one of the suspects as an off-duty officer with the Maryland Transportation Authority responsible for state bridges, toll roads, Baltimore-Washington International Marshall Airport, the Port of Baltimore. She did not release a name because charges have not been filed. Lieutenant Kevin A.Y.D., a spokesman for the MTA, said the officer's police powers have been suspended. He's been put on administrative duty for the duration of the investigation. Police said charges are pending, but authorities first need to determine which agency has jurisdiction. Federal authorities have a stake in the case because of the harm to the birds. Baltimore police also have interest because the boat was in the Patapsco, about 6 miles from the inner harbor, before being chased into a nearby creek. The incident began about 8:30 p.m. when Baltimore police say they received two emergency calls, one for people in a boat shooting at birds and a second for what appeared to be shots fired in the direction of the Spirit of Baltimore, a cruise ship that offers daily excursions for Baltimore's inner harbor. I know there were about 10 or 12 members of the General Assembly on the Port of Baltimore a week or so ago. I don't think that had anything to do with it, however. And on it goes. All right, now we know. Yes, Mark Levin refers to the Washington Post as the Washington Compost. Correct. Well, Chesapeake Outdoors is having a sale March, well, actually, March to their sale, on August 26th. They're gathering all the stuff up that in their inventory and putting it all on display and all on sale on August 26th. Archery stuff, hunting accessories, fishing stuff. It's going to be all kinds of stuff come together on that one day. It might be 2 days. We'll know sooner rather than later. But I can tell you, if you're going to be shopping for archery stuff right now, Chesapeake Outdoors is the place to go on the Eastern Shore. They've got the new Raven crossbows. They're a leading Matthews dealer. All their Hoyt bows are on sale. I mean, closeout, blowout prices on Hoyt bows. They carry the Mission crossbows, Barnett, Excalibur, 10-point, Carbon Express. They've got custom arrows and bow tuning facilities there. They'll get you ready to shoot, accessories, everything you need, broadheads, arrows, all of it for the upcoming archery season on July. What's wrong with my head today? September 8th. I said March for August and July for September.
It's still in sleeping.
It's still in some kind of mode. But anyway, Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Kent Island, Route 50 East. That's exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island. They're open now. They're probably listening and going to call me and say, what's wrong with you, Alan? The phone number there, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. Check out the sale on August 26th, and we'll bring you more on that as we get it. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. And then go fetch my slippers.
There you go, Robin.
And boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log.
Sunday. Don't I warn you when you're getting fat? Ain't I gonna take you fishing with me someday? Well, a man can't love a woman more than that. Ain't I always nice to your cute sister? Don't I take her driving every night? So sit here at my feet, 'cause I like you when you're sweet, and you know it ain't feminine to fight. So burn up the love on the fire.
All right, let's wrap that one up. That's for you, Camo Preacher. Yeah, ain't I always nice to your kid sister? Don't I take her drive? Are you ignoring me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You probably should.
After you said the thing about the pipe and slippers, I gave up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke a pipe.
I know. Go away.
But you can bring my slippers anytime you want.
Okay.
All right.
No,
yeah. 410 WCBM 680. So the Maryland transportation guys were out in the boat in the evening. I'm going to suspect that there was perhaps alcohol involved. I don't know. Maybe that says it somewhere in the story. But they're out shooting seagulls and cormorants. There are a couple. The cormorants, when you go across the Bay Bridge and you look to the left, I mean, if you're going east and you look to the left, you're going to see the whole underpinnings, all that structure under the bridge, just covered up with cormorants. You go up to Susquehanna during the shad run or the herring run, you're going to see thousands of those ugly beasts up there, just chomping down every little thing they can get. I watched one dive on five fish in about 20 minutes and come up with a shad or a mud shad or something. They just annihilate them. I can't imagine, that they're, number one, I can't imagine that they'd be any good for anything to eat or anything like that. But they're double-crested, and then there's a couple other ones. There's two or three different species here in Maryland. Cormorants, you got to look it up. They're a fascinating bird, actually. Seagulls, when you're out sea duck hunting, and they fly by, there goes a short-necked snow goose, and you just can't shoot them, So, Amy in Denton. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. How can I help you?
Well, Jay Jacobs. I guess, do you know Jay Jacobs?
I do know Jay Jacobs.
I ran into him last night at the Caroline Dorchester County Fair over here, and he suggested I call you
about
this morning because I was talking about farmers and hunters feeding the hungry.
Sure.
And how I'm volunteering for that organization to try and get funding to
good.
Get the program going.
Good. And what Jay had to say. What did the delegate have to say?
He said you would be a very good man to talk to about it. I didn't realize I would have to talk to you on the air, though.
Well, you can talk to me anytime. Just send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I will tell you this, that public funding for FHFH through DNR,
mm-hmm.
Several years ago under the O'Malley administration, was about $248,000. And then it dropped to about 180 or so, and then about 150. Then it dropped to 80, and then there was no money forthcoming last season. And the Maryland Hunting Coalition, of which I'm the executive director, spoke to the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus. And, said, hey, look, this group needs some funding. So they made a request to DNR. DNR then came forth with $50,000 for last year's program. This year's General Assembly cleaned up some stuff that was on the books. It said that that no Pittman-Robertson, which is the matching federal funds for firearms and ammunition and archery tackle, the excise tax that is collected and then reimbursed to the states. None of that money could be used for example, a dollar per hunting license to be donated FHFH. We had that program, and that was eliminated. FHFH also, up until last year, had funding from the Maryland Farm Bureau, the Grain Producers, and the Maryland Soybean Board for the total of about $80,000. And that was to drive a program called the Maryland Doe Challenge. which would help folks harvest more antlerless deer, help the farmers in doing that. And there were prizes put up by Bass Pro Shop and others, you know, and awarded throughout the season. And that helped to some degree as well. So they went from 160,000 in 2015 to only 50,000, which the coalition helped secure. And this year, again, after repeated requests to DNR for, you know, hey, what are you guys going to do this year, if anything, and not getting any kind of answer, again, the Maryland Hunting Coalition went to the Legislative Sportsman's Foundation, or Legislative Sportsman's Caucus, excuse me, which is, you know, the men and women who support the outdoors in the General Assembly, a handful of them, and secured $25,000 for FHFH this year. And basically the letter said, we fixed this legislatively, so this will be the last year. We're giving you $25,000 out of the goodness of our heart, and then no more after this.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Must
the history.
Be one of my biggest challenges to get funding, and I haven't been able to focus on procuring funding.
There's the history.
For this wonderful program, and so I saw
well,
Jay, and he said, call Alan.
Yeah, well, you know, you didn't have to ask me anything on the air. Just you can get me started on that. I can give you the whole deal. I will tell you this,
yeah.
that some of the folks in the General Assembly are concentrating on working with folks to get some funding. And, you know, we're let's put it this way. If it weren't for the coalition, there wouldn't be any funding for FHFH last year or this year from the public funds in DNR.
Well, then I guess I'll say thank you.
None.
Continue
well,
to support us.
Yeah, I you know, that. I mean, the letter from FHFH is on our website, Maryland Hunting Coalition, but that's one of our missions. Now, Robin and I just formed a company, and the company is called Bucks, Bears, Stags, and that is a scoring enterprise to, you know, score deer antlers of whitetails and sika deer and black bear skulls and things like that here in Maryland, and recognize those folks who have successfully taken a quality animal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And part of our
mission.
Well, our mission, we didn't really have a mission statement yet, but we will.
Mm-hmm.
But part of our corporate structure says that, you know, we will fund such organizations like FHFH with some of our profits and the Maryland Hunting Coalition, because, you know, they're the two that are actually doing something to promote the image of hunters in Maryland.
Right.
So
well,
that's where we are.
That.
Yeah. So Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com, Amy, and I'm living in Easton for the most part now, so it's pretty easy to get together if you want, but
yeah, definitely.
You know, we can talk to you. It's a good organization. And, you know, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff that happened that I really don't want to get into and you know, reveal, because it would be speculation, and I don't want to do that on the air. I don't want to speculate without any facts behind it, but, you know.
Right. Well, if you live in Easton, definitely, because I'm covering Caroline, Talbot, and Dorchester County.
Good.
Same
region as we've set up for Bucks, Bears, and Stags, those three counties.
Awesome.
Talbot,
awesome.
Talbot, Caroline, and Dorchester,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So,
yes.
Very good.
Yeah, please
Ellis,
get in touch.
Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com.
Alan Ellis.
Nope. Not Alan. Just Ellis, my last name.
Ellis. I'm sorry. Ellis at
Ellis Outdoors.
EllisOutdoors.com.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan.
You got it. Thank you, Amy.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. And if you can't remember, Ellis at Ellis Outdoors, info@mdhuntingcoalition.org. info@mdhuntingcoalition.org. It is the political giving season. You know, we support those folks. Robin, I know you love politics.
No comment. It just gets me in trouble.
When you comment on politics?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, your dad was a delegate.
Yeah.
Your dad was a secretary of the Department of Natural Resources.
And that's why I just love politics. Yeah.
How do you really feel? Well, you know I'm a little involved.
I know. And
you know?
When dad was campaigning, we were out there with the placards on the sidewalk on the corner.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But, you know, FHFH is just one issue that we're involved with the Maryland Hunting Coalition right now. There's about three or four different things swirling around out there that have to do with primarily deer hunting, but FHFH is high on the list. We've been working with some folks. As a matter of fact, I got a call from a delegate the other day about that. And so there's some things happening. We're doing our best on that to make sure that that program continues to be funded, because what better image of hunters than to donate their venison, you know, to feed hungry people.
Well, we truly believe in it, because that's one of the reasons when we made bucks, bears, and stags, that those two
entities
would
benefit
from it also, because
exactly.
we have very strong feelings about farmers and
hunters feeding hungry.
Okay, I'll say it wrong.
That's all right. Yeah, I know, me too sometimes. But what people don't realize here that have joined this show maybe in the last, I don't know how many years, Alan Ellis started the venison donation program here in Maryland in 1991 or so. Started an organization called the Maryland Deer Hunters Association, and it became Hunters Harvest Share at the time. And we initiated the pay your butcher, reimburse your butcher for cutting up your deer. And we sold raffle tickets on ATVs, and I traded Remington for firearms, advertising for firearms, and we went to outdoor shows and we sold tickets. And don't talk about myself in the third person. Well, I'm Alan Ellis. Okay, so I said Alan Ellis. So I should have said myself. Is that correct? Okay, I started a venison donation program here in the early 90s and ran it for three or four years.
So it's not bragging if you say it about yourself like you're somebody else.
Huh?
Never mind.
The point is, I've been doing this for a long time.
I know, and I think it's great. I really
do. And guess what? Same thing happened. You run out of money. You can't pay for all the deer. You run out of money. And so, like I said, we did raffles and we did giveaways, and we killed ourselves going to shows and, you know, trying to sell tickets to pay butchers to cut up venison to feed the hungry people, you know. And we started the network that's out there now, county by county by county. And the current program built upon that.
I think it's great. I mean, I'm really behind it because,
you know, I mean, the Wilson family took it to a whole new level out of Hagerstown. You know,
it's just a natural. It's a natural resource that people enjoy hunting, and it gives back to the people that don't have as much as we do. But it's not taking from the government, even though the government could help fund it a little bit better. But
well, the government is who? The citizens of Maryland.
I know.
Yeah. So I mean, I get it. But you know, there's a lot of deer in Maryland being wasted this time of year. Farmers on crop damage permits statewide. Not every one of them makes every effort to recover that animal or to have somebody on site who can clean that animal and make use of it.
Because in the summer months, it's a lot different than the winter months, right?
Well, it's a lot of difference, and it takes a lot. It's a process that you've got to get on. You've got to take that animal quickly. And then you've got to get to it and field dress it and get it culled quickly. And a lot of folks don't want to take the effort and work to do that. You know, they just want to shoot and let lay. And if anybody visits our Facebook site,
Wanton Waste,
it's called. It's against the law. MDHuntingCoalition.org or Facebook at MDHuntingCoalition, you'll see what's going on, and you'll see some of the comments of the folks. And we'll go from there. But right now, it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sport Shop. It has been fascinating. It's been fascinating to talk to Bill and Clyde about the early days. You know, I came on the scene 30-some years ago in the early 80s, and they'd been in business since 1957 at that time. They'd been established, and the current store was there, you know, the size that it is. But when you realize that they started operating a 10-by-15 shed, selling worms as teenage boys, picking them out of their dad's chicken yard and walking down the Patapsco River and, you know, all that history, or highlights of that history is going to be in the next Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine. Talking to those guys is pretty fascinating to see how they became a Browning dealer almost by accident. I mean, they, you know, it was write a letter to Browning and wait, you know.
I know, but their story is just, it's inspiring.
Very inspiring story, no question about it. So, you know, over 60 years, they've learned a few things. They still sell great firearms, handguns, long guns, ammunition. They've got a great gunsmithing service. They sell, you know, high, good quality optics and that type of thing. So why not? If you're getting ready for hunting season, maybe a trip out west or something, go see Clyde's and check out the Browning rifles. You can see them at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. By the way, they just got the new Bear crossbows to accompany their Coda Bow. They're the largest Coda Bow dealer in the state, crossbows. That's a very cool tactical crossbow, the Coda Bow. So if you're interested in that, stop by and see them. 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. If you're a fisherman, fishing hotline, 247-FISH.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Big change up to the weather scene underway here in Baltimore with a pretty strong summertime cold front moving on east of us today. You can feel that northwest wind out there. Lower humidity coming all the way down from Canada. Upper 70s for high temps today. A fall preview almost tonight. Clear sky, 59 degrees. Sunshine Sunday in the low 80s. Chance for thundershowers for Monday. Temperature staying below average even early next week. Low 80s Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with lows at night in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie. Moore from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fish Bones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410,
W&W
Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCPM.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them little trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone. Even with someone they...
Let's talk to Mary in Parkville real quick. Mary, what's going on over there in Parkville?
Well, first of all, you probably don't remember, but I've been listening to you, and I'm no hunter, but for about 25 years, I guess, or more. But anyway, you were so kind to my husband. He had had polio and he had a trach, and he was from State College, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I remember you sending him a magazine because he'd call every now and then talk to you because he loved hunting, but he was not able to do it.
Got it. Okay.
But anyway, what I'm calling you about now is behind my property is a cemetery. And the other day, I saw these two deer out there.
Were they dead?
It was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And they were out there grazing for about half an hour, it seemed like.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, then there are two, I call them Bambis, and two little deer came out. Why would they be out that time of day like that? I mean,
well, believe it or not, I have an answer. I don't know if it's the right one, but this is the Southeastern Deer Study Group reported on this this year. It found out that does and fawns tend to go out in the middle of the day to avoid any, in their mind, conflict with predators. You see, coyotes are active early and late, early in the morning and right at dusk, okay? So the deer with newborn fawns or even growing fawns that are still, you know, that are still nursing, tend to avoid those times when coyotes and predators are more active.
Oh.
So that's the middle of the day.
Oh, okay, because I thought, gee, it was funny. I've never seen them do this before.
That, you'll see that behavior a lot with fawns this time of year. And it's been going on for a few months now on the shore. You'll go out, you'll drive down the highway in the middle of the day, and you'll see deer out along the edges. So.
But they do it to protect themselves and their young ones.
That's correct, yep.
Isn't that something? They know how to do that?
Indeed.
Ooh, well, that's amazing. Well, I just wanted to tell you, I thought it was so interesting.
They've been around for eons, longer than we have, probably, Mary.
Oh, my heavens.
All right, dear.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Here goes Mary. Frank in Brooklyn Park, give us a call back right after the first of the hour, and we will talk to you. Get out. Stay out. Stay safe.